Hello. Here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, July 30th. The Town of Paonia Board of Trustees will hold two executive sessions tonight to help determine what to do about their town administrator. Trustees will receive legal advice in one executive session and then will deal with the personnel matter in the second. The sessions were put on the agenda last week at the regular meeting of the board after allegations of harassment against Administrator Ken Knight were made public. According to the Delta County Independent, just before 8 p.m. Friday, July 19th, Christina Patterson, who lives just outside of Paonia town limits, alleges that she was verbally accosted by Knight while standing on the road near her property at 396 Price Road. Patterson said the alleged incident stems from a letter she, husband Barry Smith, and another neighbor submitted to the Delta County Board of County Commissioners. At the July 2nd Board of County Commissioners meeting, Patterson, Smith, and the neighbor complained to commissioners about Knight's involvement with the town's efforts to annex Price Road, stating they didn't trust Knight. Since the incident did not occur within town limits, the call was handled by deputies of the Delta County Sheriff's Department. Deputies talked with both parties and advised them not to contact one another. No criminal charges were filed due to there being no physical contact. Tonight, Paonia trustees will discuss their options in terms of discipline for Knight in the executive session. Such meetings are closed to the public and the media. And now we have a feature story from the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange. Immigration continues to be a major topic of conversation across the United States. But while the focus is widely concentrated on border states, KOTO's Julia Caulfield reports on one man's experience with ICE and the greater effects on the community in a rural mountain town in southwest Colorado.
In December 2018, Diego Hernandez was coming out of the courthouse building in Telluride after running an errand.
As I left, there was a man near the benches at the bus stop.
Hernandez says the man asked him for his name. Three other men came up to him and asked if he had documentation to show legal status in the U.S.
I told them no, but I had a pending case for a U visa and I had those documents in my backpack.
According to Hernandez, whose name has been changed for the purposes of this story, the officers didn't give him the time to show his visa paperwork. They asked him if he had any weapons or drugs on him. He said no, and they handcuffed him and put him in the back of a van. Hernandez says he has no criminal record. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials in Colorado say they aren't allowed to comment on a specific case without a signed privacy waiver from a detainee. Hernandez declined to sign a waiver, but ICE officials say with their, quote, finite resources, they focus arrests and detentions on those who pose a threat to the community or are national security threats. But they add it's their duty to, quote, carry out the arrest, detention, and removal of any person in the U.S. without proper documentation. According to Nelly Garcia, Hernandez's story is not surprising. Garcia is a Western Slope organizer for the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, a statewide nonprofit organization aimed at improving the lives of immigrants and refugees in Colorado. She's based in Grand Junction and says in the past few years on the Western Slope, they've seen an increase of people getting detained regardless of their criminal record.
It's really scary because I'm not following those procedures that they're supposed to be following. They're detaining people with no warrant. And then they're not going through making sure that they're not criminals.
Claudia Garcia Curcio, a DACA recipient and member of the Latino Advocacy Committee in Telluride, agrees with Garcia.
ICE does come to town frequently, which is scary. And, you know, by law, they're not supposed to profile.
She says LAC works with people so they know their rights when they encounter ICE. Hernandez was born in Mexico. He moved to Telluride when he was 25. That was 15 years ago. At first, he would come and go during the off seasons. Hernandez says the moment he moved here, he started working on assimilating. He took classes to learn English. He filed his taxes. He says he did everything he could to be part of the community. Once his son was born, he and his wife made Telluride their home full time. On the day he was arrested, he says he dropped his son off at school and told him he'd pick him up at the end of the day. But he never made it. Instead, Hernandez was taken into custody. He says he was put in a van and ICE officers took him to Grand Junction. There, he says the officers took his fingerprints and interviewed him about his past.
Afterwards, I waited until around 11 o'clock at night, and they loaded two of us into a van, me and another man they had arrested in Montrose, and they put the same cuffs around our ankles, waists, and wrists, and loaded us into an old, ugly van with a driver and another guard.
From there, Hernandez says he and the other man were taken to the detention center in Denver. He describes the processing center, the place he was kept before going to the detention center, like a maximum security prison.
We were completely alone in a small cell with no contact with others. There was a small sink, a toilet, and a table with two chairs. If we needed anything or asked any questions, they spoke to us through the door as if we were criminals. During my time there, right hand to God, I had never been through anything like that in my entire life.
Once in the detention facility, Hernandez says he was held with around 80 other detainees, split into cells with four people each. He says they were allowed outside for a short time each day. Hernandez also recounts helping other detainees get the medical care they needed. He says unless you spoke English, it was hard to get medical attention. Reporting in recent months from multiple news outlets have also raised questions about the quality of medical care provided at the detention center in Denver, including the death of a detainee at the center in 2017. According to ICE officials, ICE takes, quote, the health, safety, and welfare of detainees seriously. After 3 weeks in the detention center in Denver, Hernandez was released on bond. He's back in Telluride with his family, but he says the experience changed his experience of the community. Organizer Nelly Garcia says the fear of detention can have broader impacts on the community, including underreporting crime. She says it's important for the immigrant community to start building trust with local law enforcement.
We just had a meeting with the Montrose sheriff, and he assured us that he's not working with ICE and that he's not sharing information and that they don't want them to work with them because that just breaks the trust between the community and them.
Claudia Garcia Curcio says locally, Telluride is working to be more open about conversations surrounding immigration.
And I've even worked in the courts and with the DA, and we've been, you know, can we do call-ins, you know, instead of having the fear of them coming into the courts. I feel like we've opened, I guess, the door in conversations that I don't feel shy or scared to ask these questions.
But Garcia Curcio says that's not always enough.
I mean, we've worked through a lot of things. We're still working on them, you know, and I don't think the fear is ever going to go away.
In 2018, ICE arrested over 400,000 people in the U.S. and deported over half of those arrested. Around 6,000 of those arrests happened in Colorado. From January to March of 2019, ICE and Customs and Border Patrol arrested over 60,000 people across the United States. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Julia Caulfield.
And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, July 30th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.